For over 100 years, this foundation, which is the second oldest community foundation in the United States, has raised more than $30 million in their history. And we're going to talk to them right now on St. Louis in Tune. Welcome to St. Louis in Tune, and thank you for joining us for fresh perspectives on issues and events with experts, community leaders, and everyday people who are driving change and making an impact that shapes our society and world. I'm Arnold Stricker with the incomparable, effervescent Mark Langston.
I got to look that word up, incomparable.
Without comparison.
Right, there you go. Oh, thank you.
Effervescent, just like Alka-Seltzer.
Right. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. I don't know what a relief it is.
I don't know how
I should take all of this. Good to see you, Arnold.
He's going to be thinking about what to call me next.
I know, you're right. I'm working on it. Get my thesaurus out here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our return to civility today, folks, because we like to help people be civil in our society today because it's sorely needed. Donate your pocket change. Save up your pocket change in a jar at home. I do that. And every couple of months, cash it in at the bank and then donate that money to a good cause.
No, I'm all for that, but I don't have pocket change anymore. I don't carry cash at all.
Yeah, I don't get change either.
Actually, I did. Very quick story. I do carry cash. Someone gave me a $100 bill, and I'd never done anything with it. And the other day, I dropped it. I was getting my keys out, and I dropped it by my car. And the lady at the 9 Mile, I don't know if you've ever been to the 9 Mile in awe. And I have. She found it and noticed there was a $100 bill and put it on my dash, on my windshield.
Wow.
To where you can't see it. She figured it must have, it was right by my car. And I couldn't help but hug on her. I said, she came over and told me, and I said, God love you. You're just an angel today.
I thought you were going to say you had your name on it.
I should have given her the $100 bill. I keep feeling bad about that every day. But
maybe she was waiting for that to happen.
I probably. But I don't have cash, getting back to the original story.
That's true.
I never have cash or change. Yeah. And I do have a big jug of change in my closet that I need to probably cash in and give to some place.
Real copper penny.
Yeah, and copper quarters.
Oh, yeah, the old stuff.
Got the copper
in
the middle.
Pre-1965.
I know. Okay, I'm sorry. All right.
No, you're fine. The St. Louis Community Foundation, a nonprofit here locally, has 900 charitable funds and a total assets of more than $525 million.
Wow.
You might know them from GiveSTL Day, which is going to be taking place May the 9th. And in studio, we have Kelvin Adams. He's the CEO and president of St. Louis Community Foundation. Kelvin, welcome to St. Louis in Tune.
Good morning. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Kelvin is the former superintendent of schools for St. Louis Public Schools. He started there in 2008 and retired in 2023. He is originally from Nolens. And we talked previously about some great food and some wonderful jazz down there. Mm. But he did a lot at St. Louis Public Schools. He has a PhD in educational leadership from the University of New Orleans and master's and bachelor's degrees in elementary education. And you've been at the foundation now for, what, about a year, Kelvin?
Starting August 7th, so right about 9 months.
9 months, okay. And tell a little bit about the St. Louis Community Foundation to people who may not be exactly familiar with what it is.
Yeah, the St. Louis Community Foundation is a philanthropic nonprofit that obviously receives funds from donors, such that those dollars can then be leveraged to give to nonprofits. And so they determine what nonprofits they want to give those dollars to. We collect the dollars, invest those dollars, give them the benefit of leveraging those dollars to go out in the ways that they want. Been around since 1915, as you indicated. And the Give STL Day started on the 100-year anniversary, quite frankly. So this is the 11th year for it. And so the Community Foundation is using its platform to assist donors to get dollars to nonprofits such that they could impact our region.
Okay. We're going to delve into Give STL Day in a few moments here, but I want to get into a five-year plan that you have developed at the foundation. And I had a question. What is the renewed emphasis on community that you guys have? Because in part of your vision, you have a renewed emphasis on community to elevate the vision for St. Louis. Just describe what that renewed emphasis is.
Yeah, when I arrived at the Community Foundation, they had just completed a listening tour to try to determine what the qualifications would be needed for the next new leader. In that listening tour, they learned from their constituents that, and the community as well, that the Community Foundation was not necessarily seen as supporting the community. It was being viewed as elitist, persons with a lot of money, leveraging those dollars there and then making some decisions where those dollars will go. And so this renewed interest on the community is to center the community and what we think needs to happen with the dollars that we have managed and dollars that persons are making available to us to manage for them. And so we are looking at two strategic areas that really centers the community. One is this notion of economic stability and mobility, housing, jobs, wealth management, centered on the community and the marginalized community areas. The other one is youth connections, and that would be early child education, which we are already focused on anyway, scholarships. We give out about $1.5 million a year in scholarships. As persons give us dollars, we leverage those dollars to give our scholarships. And the last one, since I'm a former educator and probably will never not be a former educator, is this notion of education innovation, the idea of trying to create innovations in schools and environments such that kids can get the best benefit of the institution that they are possibly in, whether it's charter, public, or private. So the notion here is that the community, the priorities that we are focused on are centered directly on the community, not so much on those things that people think might be quote-unquote elitist areas. These are areas that we think, along with leveraging other foundations as well, so part of what we've tried to do is to leverage other dollars from other foundations as well, such that we have a same kind of focus on the community, whether that's jobs, housing, all of those kind of areas, whether it's the McDonald Foundation or the Deaconess Foundation. All of these foundations have dollars, and so how can we leverage these dollars and center our dollars on the community? Some of these other institutions or foundations were moving in that direction, and it was being viewed as the Community Foundation not necessarily doing that. So now we're having conversations with our donors who come to us to suggest to them that they look at the community in a different kind of way, such that those dollars can focus and support the most marginalized areas of our community.
Oh, my. That's Kelvin, what's it like to migrate from the world of academia to the nonprofit world? It seems like you're making that transition pretty easily.
Part of being the superintendent of St. Louis Public School District, I had a lot of conversations with a lot of nonprofits and a lot of corporations as well. And so it was, quite frankly, easier than I thought because I had relationships already in both places. So it's really about relationships. At the end of the day, it's about building a level of trust. And 14 years in the St. Louis Public School District, I met with almost every business person in the region and almost every nonprofit as well, if not directly, indirectly, as they were in our schools. We have some 3,500 employees and some a max 24,000 kids in 61 buildings. So we were constantly in conversations with things like Operation Food Search or the Food Bank or Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And so those relationships were already there. And with corporations, talking to enterprise, talking to all of the corporations, quite frankly, that we talked to as we were looking for dollars to support the kids in the St. Louis Public School District, I developed relationships with all of those persons. I will tell you two things I do not miss. I do not miss school board meetings.
Yeah, spoken like a true superintendent.
Yeah, and I don't miss the issues that surround districts right now with transportation and hiring, those kinds of things. Those are two things I really don't miss at all.
Yeah.
But other than that, I was already engaged with the business community and nonprofits as well.
Interesting. Fascinating.
I want to pick this apart a little bit and look at, you know, what this looks like with boots on the ground, and I want to go backwards. I know you mentioned economic mobility and youth connections, the youth connections being early childhood development, educational innovation, and scholarship.
Yes.
What does that look like out in the community?
No, really, excellent question. Obviously, we're not impacting directly any of these areas. It's our role and responsibility to find nonprofits who are working in this area and support those nonprofits. So as dollars come to us, how do we support those nonprofits? And I don't want to say anybody's name because I'll be calling somebody out, but those nonprofits that might be working around housing, meaning that's either renovation or first-time home buyers. There are a number of different nonprofits out there who are leveraging their dollars to loan dollars to individuals who are in a marginalized community who may not have the resources to do what you and I do on a regular basis. And so we want to support those nonprofits such that they're giving those dollars to those constituents, and those dollars are being used to help them either renovate their homes, purchase their homes, or to move into places that they otherwise would not. When you think about the notion of jobs, how can we make sure that we're supporting those nonprofits? Greater STL is an entity that's supporting jobs in our community. How can we partner with those kind of entities such that when dollars come to us from our donors, we leverage those dollars or help our donors make some decisions to leverage their dollars to support those nonprofits that are working to get persons jobs, training? Those are the kinds of things that we're talking about in terms of that. In terms of wealth management, it's about really, in some cases, loaning money to businesses, marginalized communities, or persons who don't have the dollars to start a business. That business might open up and hire four or five other persons. So they are not only creating a business for themselves, if you will, in terms of income, but they're also touching other persons who might be able to work and get jobs. And so those are some of the kind of areas in terms of scholarships. It's about helping our donors understand that the cost of going to college right now is almost, it's prohibitive.
It's crazy.
And so how can we get persons to make donations to us? We manage those dollars over a period of time such that the proceeds from that can help people go to college, whether that's a community college or pay for their freshman year. And so we take applications for that to take place. And as I say, about $1.3 million. And so if somebody opens up a fund at the Community Foundation for scholarships, we assist them in terms of what kind of scholarships they want to support. Some people want to do scholarships for persons who are going into nursing. Some people want to do it for persons going into teaching. I think there was a report just about a month ago of someone having $2 million who died and put the money aside for persons to go to if they were interested in going back to school to be teachers. Those are the kinds of things that we might do. It might be legacy dollars as people die. We might manage that process for them. But St. Louis is such a giving community. We simply want to do is to assist our donors in terms of finding the best place to put their dollars, and we believe the best place is in the community, supporting the community in a way that we have historically not done. We've done it in a small way, but it has not necessarily been our purpose. And for the next 5 years, we're driving to try to make sure that's the case.
And as the economic mobility, you look like the foundation has looked like it's expanded out into really neighboring counties that you never would have thought would be part of, quote unquote, the St. Louis metropolitan area. I'm talking about Lincoln County Warren County and Franklin County. How does that fit into this economic mobility and with housing and financial health and job access and creation?
So right now, the Community Foundation sees itself as a regional entity, not just the city of St. Louis, not just the St. Louis County proper, but as far as Bond County, Illinois to Washington, Missouri. That's the stretch of the nonprofits that we support.
Wow.
And those nonprofits that are doing good work in those places, we seek them out. They seek us out. We try to provide dollars to them such that they could provide the kind of support to those locations. And right now for the Give STL Day, we are talking about over 1,000 nonprofits that have signed up with us that will be receiving dollars. There are about 24,000 nonprofits in the whole region.
Wow.
More nonprofits than we really need to have, quite frankly. And the notion of collaboration is one of the things we're talking about as well, because there's a limited amount of money that's available. And so how can we maximize those dollars to get the best bang for those dollars in the areas that we are targeting? We believe if we can impact these areas, we could see some substantial changes in our community in collaboration with government, in collaboration with other entities that are already working in these places. But I think we have a responsibility, quite frankly, to do this. I really do.
Yeah. This is Arnold Stricker with Mark Langston of St. Louis in Tune. We're talking to Kelvin Adams. He's the CEO and president of St. Louis Community Foundation. And Kelvin, also in part of the document that you had, you have the metrics that you will utilize to determine the effectiveness of the results. Giving money to a nonprofit and trying to realize the goals that you have. Many times I know in business and in education, it's okay, I did that, and there's no follow-up, did this really work? What do you plan to do with those things?
We have a seven-point criteria that we use, number one, to determine who we give dollars to. I won't go through all of it, but just one example would be the notion of a nonprofit collaborating with another nonprofit, another notion of their finances? Is it mission focused around areas that we are focused on? Obviously, we in the area that we give out dollars to is anywhere from arts to animals. It's a wide area. But is that aligned with our strategic priorities? If it's not aligned with our strategic priorities, we're still going to give funding to that space based on what donors want to do, but it's not necessarily where we will put leveraging our discretionary dollars and our dollars that our donors have trusted us with to move in that direction. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's about data. It's about understanding how many clients are you supporting? What's the results of those kinds? How many persons have received loans for small businesses? And is that business still open? What kind of mentorship is taking place to support that business over a period of time? That would be one of the areas that we will be looking at. But to your point, it's not just about giving away dollars. It's about leveraging those dollars to have an impact. Mm-hmm. And how can we determine if that impact is taking place? We circle back and make sure that the data aligns with what you indicate is going to be happening. The challenge for a lot of nonprofits is they get one-time dollars. Mm-hmm. We want to try to sustain dollars over a 3 to 5 year period so that we could actually see the impact. It's hard for a nonprofit to accept dollars and to get that funding for 1 year, and then the funding goes away, and then they're scrapping out there to try to get funding. And what we find is that a lot of nonprofits don't have the capacity, and so we want to build their capacity by giving them professional development and training, because their hearts are in the right place. Sometimes they just don't have the structures in place, mm-hmm. if you will, to run a business in a way mm-hmm. that a business needs to be run. So part of what we do as well is we do some capacity building, meaning that we're providing training and support and professional development for them to grow.
It seems like that what you're trying to do is, from I'm getting, is be an umbrella support group,
yes.
for the nonprofits,
yes.
in the St. Louis area. Because many people, like you said, they're doing the same thing, and maybe they see themselves in competition with,
yes.
one another,
yes.
rather than in collaboration,
yeah.
with,
yes.
one another.
They are in competition because they're trying to leverage dollars. What we have to try to do, what we are trying to do, is this is a hard conversation to have sometimes with 24,000 nonprofits. How can we get them to collaborate? And in some cases, consolidate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really hard piece, because mm-hmm. everybody thinks they want to do their own thing.
Right.
Why do we, when I was superintendent, nonprofits would come to me and say, hey, we want to give tennis shoes to your kids at your school. Another nonprofit would come in and say, we want to give tennis shoes. Another nonprofit would come and say, we want to give tennis shoes. Nobody asked if they needed underwear. You understand what I'm saying? And
right.
so how do we collaborate? How do we collaborate and consolidate such that we're not giving out tennis shoes to everybody in the school? Because
right.
everybody doesn't need tennis shoes. We don't ask the right kind of questions. And so part of what we are trying to do is to try to filter dollars in a way that we require some level of consolidation or collaboration. And that's a long game. That's not going to happen tomorrow. But that is one of the things that's on our table to try to do.
A lot of egos, I would think, are involved in that.
And you have to have an ego to start a nonprofit. Let's just be honest with you. But
right.
that ego needs to be framed around what's already happening in this space.
Right.
And so we don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
We simply need to find out how that wheel is spinning and see how we can be part of that wheel as opposed to creating my own wheel. And you're right. The egos do play a part in it. But I think if we are able to use the dollars that we receive to gain some level of influence such that those nonprofits can understand that we want to be supportive, but we can be supportive to a level of collaboration and consolidation, not to a level of being 100% independent.
Is there a level of optimism or pessimism or, yeah, we've heard this before, or how have the nonprofits responded? I know you, looking in the long-range vision, and the rest of the board and the long-range vision, you have designed what you want to do and see. They're living on a day-to-day basis, many on because of the funding and things like that. So what's their response?
I think there's a level of excitement, not mm-hmm. only because the St. Louis Community Foundation has started moving in this direction, but I've met with 9 different foundations. There are mm-hmm. tons of foundations in St. Louis, and we are singing from the same sheet of music. We are trying to leverage our philanthropic dollars in the right kind of way to support the community collectively.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm talking about donors, I'm talking about nonprofits not necessarily working together, there are foundations as well who are not necessarily working together. So I think we have to look at our own selves as well to
right.
determine how we can take. And you mentioned we give out about $100 million a year out in grants. You have other entities that give out dollars in grants as well on a yearly basis. And whether it's the Deaconess, whether it's the McDonald's, whether it's the Incarnate Word, there are a bunch of different foundations. What we are having is some conversations with them about how can we collaborate? How can we determine what you're giving our dollars for, we want to support that same area, or you want to support the same area, so that we may give out $100,000 in one area, they're giving out $25,000. That's $125,000 that's moving in collectively in the same direction,
right,
as opposed to not in the same direction, because we have not talked to each other around that. I sense a sense of, I don't want to use the word excitement, I think that would be
too optimistic,
but I think there's a sense of finally somebody's thinking about this differently.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And the beneficiaries are the citizens in the metropolitan St. Louis area.
That need the help, the assistance.
That's 100% correct.
It seems almost like a funnel here that are a NATO, if you will, type organization. All these nonprofits, do they have a leader, a clear vision as to how they can help all these people? And it sounds like that's maybe what the collaboration, I think, is the great word. Mm-hmm. To put to it, but it seems like someone needs, perhaps it's you, doctor, that's going to bring them all together and say, we need underwear, we need tennis shoes, we need insurance for cars.
I think there has been a level of collaboration, but I think the funding community has not always aligned in that kind of way. So I have a relationship with you. I'm a donor. I'm going to give money to you because I have a relationship with
right.
you. I don't care about those other five or six things that
correct.
Are out there, but I have a relationship with you. What we're saying is, donor, let's get all five of them together. Let's have a conversation. And so somebody might be doing this in this part of town. Mm-hmm. Somebody might be doing this
right.
in this part of town. We're not repeating dollars going to the same place.
Has no one ever done this before?
I think there's been efforts to do that, but I don't know that it has been as structured as it probably needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't want to walk away and thinking I walked in and this
all this stuff's
happening. This is a process. I do believe that efforts were being made mm-hmm. to do that. I think the efforts now are much more focused or larger. Yeah. We're actually saying it. We're actually putting it on the table. We're actually saying to nonprofits, we're not going to fund this in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
We will only fund this unless there's a level of
collaboration.
But I do think it is something that has been talked about. This notion of collective impact has mm-hmm. been talked about for years and years. But the dollars, I think, aligned to do that, we hope can make a difference.
And that makes perfect sense, because sometimes it's the timing of things.
Yes.
And whether it's not necessarily personnel, whether it's ideas, maybe it's like, I'm sure COVID just drove some of these things together.
Oh, yeah. COVID was a real wake-up call, I think, for everybody. We created an entity called a regional response. We collected about $6 million. Obviously, I was in schools at the time, but it required everybody to work together. And I think that has been part of the beginning of this process,
mm-hmm.
people realizing we don't need another pandemic to work together. We can do this outside of a pandemic. And so how can we do that? The devil's in the details. And so part of what my strength is, quite frankly, is a detail kind of person in mm-hmm. terms of dealing with the devil in the details. I just transport kids, 16,000-17,000 kids a day across a region like St. Louis without understanding the details. And I think that's part of what my strength might be from an administrative perspective. Obviously, the dollars and cents piece, I'm not the business kind of person, the finance person. That's not my strength. It's an administrative skill set to move things in a collaborative kind of way, in a structured way, with a level of accountability that needs to take place as well.
Okay. We're going to talk more about this after the break. I have a couple of questions. We'll mm-hmm. talk about STL Gives Day, mm-hmm. which is going to take place May the 9th. But I also want to ask you, Kelvin, somebody has money, they've come into money, or they have money and they want to give it in a way that's beneficial for the community. What's the process? How do they do that? How do they get in touch with you? Do you get in touch with them? Something like that, okay? All right,
sure.
So we're going to take a quick break. This is Arnold Stricker with Mark Langston of St. Louis in Tune. Stay tuned. This is Arnold Stricker of St. Louis in Tune on behalf of the Dred Scott Heritage Foundation. In 1857, the Dred Scott decision was a major legal event and catalyst that contributed to the Civil War. The decision declared that Dred Scott could not be free because he was not a citizen. The 14th Amendment, also called the Dred Scott Amendment, granted citizenship to all born or naturalized here in our country and was intended to overturn the U.S. Supreme Court decision on July 9, 1868. the Dred Scott Heritage Foundation is requesting a commemorative stamp to be issued from the U.S. Postal Service to recognize and remember the heritage of this amendment by issuing a stamp with the likeness of the man Dred Scott. But we need your support and the support of thousands of people who would like to see this happen. To achieve this goal, we ask you to download, sign, and share the one-page petition with others. To find the petition, please go to dredscottlives.org and click on the Dred Scott petition drive on the right side of the page. On behalf of the Dred Scott Heritage Foundation, this has been Arnold Stricker of St. Louis In Tune.
At St. Louis In Tune, we strive to bring you informative, useful, and reflective stories, as well as interviews about current and historic issues and events that involve people, places, and things. We cover a wide range of topics, such as the arts, crime, education, employment, faith, finance, food, health, history, housing, humor, justice, and sports, and that's just to name a few. While St. Louis In Tune originates from the Gateway City and covers local topics, we also connect to what's going on nationally as well. If you missed any of our previously aired programs of St. Louis In Tune, simply visit stlintune.com. That's stlintune.com. There you'll find the show notes and everything that was mentioned in that episode and all the other great episodes as well. And if you've got an area that you'd like us to examine deeper, well, just let us know by dropping us a note at stlintune@gmail.com. That's stlintune@gmail.com. St. Louis In Tune. It's heard Monday through Friday on the USRadioNetwork.com and many great radio stations around the U.S. and, of course, right here in St. Louis. Our website again is stlintune.com. Visit us today. That's stlintune.com. Well, welcome back to St. Louis In Tune. I'm Mark Langston, along with my co-host, Arnold Stricker. And we're glad you're tuned in with us. Dr. Kelvin Adams is the president and the CEO of the Community Foundation. And we're visiting with him today. And it's been, I think it's been a very informative interview so far.
It's been a great conversation with Kelvin. And Kelvin, thank you for your time. I really appreciate what you're giving us today.
Well, thank you for the invite.
I think the whole understanding of St. Louis Community Foundation and what they do is important. And coming up on May the 9th is Give STL Day. And folks, if you're not familiar with that, I want to give you a website, givestlday.org. It's really simple. It's not a hard one. And there's early giving going on right now. You don't have to wait until May 9th to do this. Yeah. So, Kelvin, question. Give us a little lowdown on Give STL Day. What exactly is that?
So, as I indicated earlier, Give STL Day started about 11 years ago at the one-year anniversary of the Community Foundation. And the purpose is really to draw the attention of the community to our nonprofits who do a great deal of work in our community, with the dollars 100% going to them. Obviously, we are the flow-through, if you will. But for the most part, the dollars are 100%, not 99.9, but 100% goes strictly to nonprofits. So the nonprofits register with us. We leverage their constituents as well as the community at whole, and we put on this elaborate effort of starting in October in terms of getting everything ready. And so starting on on April 24th through May 9th, persons can donate dollars to these nonprofits that are on our website. They go online, they click it on, they make a donation, and they can do it 24/7. It's up until 12 o'clock. Any time, they could go right now and do it if they want to while they're listening to this. But the whole focus is, quite frankly, to recognize our nonprofits who do this kind of work. In some cases, 50% of their budgets for that year, yet they receive through this day.
Wow.
50%. Those small nonprofits, really small nonprofits, they may only have a budget of $50,000, and $25,000 they may get in this effort, and they use those dollars to really run the nonprofits moving forward. And so it's just really a great opportunity to recognize nonprofits, a great opportunity to get the community focused around supporting nonprofits and thinking about it. This is a philanthropic community, and we always want to give and try to make a difference, and to nonprofits who are really making a difference. And tomorrow we will be doing broadcasts and that kind of stuff, getting people hyped for it. We'll have some interviews taking place at the foundation on Thursday, On Wednesday night, we will be at the Armory from 4 to 8 as we have a trivia night with about 150 nonprofits who have already signed up. They will be coming there to do a trivia. We'll give out about $215,000 of prizes for people who win certain kinds of things, $3,000 here, $5,000 here. And these are sponsors gave us these funds to make that happen. So it's really just, if you want to call it, a rally for nonprofits, quite frankly.
Right.
That's what it really is. It's just really pushing nonprofits in the middle of this effort to say, hey, support these nonprofits. Arts to animals is what we do, everything from and all kind of groups that come. We are just recognizing them and pushing them in the front. Tomorrow we will have approximately, I want to say, 10 to 15 nonprofits at our facility. Some will be bringing their animals. Some will be bringing what they do. And so they'll be interviewed as well.
That's cool.
At the site as well. So it's just a great celebration, quite frankly, for nonprofits. And we want persons who are listening to this to really reach out. You could give as little as $10, as much as you want to give to any nonprofit. You go online, click it, and just determine. As of yesterday, my understanding is about $250,000 has really come in already.
Wow.
from the 24th, and this is far ahead of where we were in the past. Everybody looks at the night, but you could actually start as early as the 24th and go all the way until the night.
Wow. And so last year, Mark, there was, let's see, $3.84 million.
$3.8 million. That's
wow.
Correct.
That's a lot of money. Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah. A lot of help.
And
yes, that's the way to look at it. A lot of help to nonprofits who are already doing this kind of work.
The website's great because I just clicked on, give, and I get this listing. I can search for a nonprofit, and when you click on a nonprofit, like I just did, it gives you an understanding of what their mission is. It has some pictures. It has some organizational data, and this is all tax-deductible, correct?
Yes, all tax-deductible. The proceeds go directly, as I said, 100% go to the nonprofits, and so I think it's just a great way for the city of St. Louis. We've done some research over the last 7 months, 8 months that I've been in place. We've visited 7 different foundations across the country to see what they're doing. And when I talked about the community, centering the community, we also learned that places like Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Cleveland, Columbus, Ohio, they are centering the community in their giving, in their work. Many of them have an STL a day as well. Mm-hmm. Some have it statewide, quite frankly. In some states, like Georgia, they have one that's statewide. Ours is obviously local to just St. Louis. But it's just a great way to center the community back in the work that we think is important.
I guess final question for you is, and this is not me, folks, so I'm making this up right now. I've come into some money. Mm-hmm. One relative died, or I won the lottery or whatever, the Mega Millions, and I want to be able to help the community out. And I heard about St. Louis Community Foundation. Do you contact me? Do I contact you? Or how does that happen? Is there a middleman that says, hey, I know this foundation group. They can really help the community out with the funds that you want to donate? Or what does this process look like?
So we have a team of donor stewards who, if someone will call us, obviously our number is out there and gives STL. But if somebody contacts us, we will set up a meeting with them, find out what they want to do, how they want to proceed, and obviously work out all the details. So we have people contact us on a regular basis. Some people want to leave a legacy of money to support a particular interest that they might have when they're no longer here with us. And they do that kind of stuff on a regular basis. We also have a wealth team that goes out and talks to financial advisors, because many donors have financial advisors that they work with, and we'll work with those financial advisors as well to help them determine how they want to leverage their dollars as well. Obviously, they're getting a return on their investment, and they're using those dollars in a way they want to, but they also may want to give in a way that the financial advisor understands but may not have the details of knowing how to do. What we simply try to do, unlike some of the competition that's out there that receive dollars, we actually work with the individual to help them determine what's best for them. 81% of the dollars that we manage go back to the St. Louis region. 81.6% to be exact, go back to the St. Louis region. It's not going to New York or Chicago.
Right.
Nothing against these places, don't get me wrong. Right. But it's really about impacting our region where we live on a regular basis and the constituents or, quite frankly, the clients in the community that we support. But yeah, we do have the ability to reach out and set up meetings with persons to do the kind of work that's necessary. And we provide them with support for the entire time, whether it's a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I'm in a process right now of meeting with potential clients who are thinking about leveraging their dollars. I personally have a fund at the foundation as well that I use to give out funds as well.
So the foundation holds the money?
Holds the money, invests the money in a way that they think needs to be invested. It's a small administrative cost. The revenues that come as a result of investment goes back to the client, and those dollars can go out on an annual basis in the way they want to. They can go online and look at where their dollars are, what they're granting dollars for. But it's quite frankly a very detailed operation that I didn't even know existed, quite frankly, myself in a way that it does. But we really do a really good job of supporting our clients and supporting this community in a really detailed way. They're not against anything that anybody else is doing with these other entities that manage dollars, but the Community Foundation is centered in the community and it supports the community.
As a donor, I appreciate it, knowing that if I give money to STL Day, that you've done your due diligence on all of these charitable organizations.
Exactly.
And I know it's not going to, the wrong folks, the wrong people, not being paid for some lavish trip or cars or what.
No, we
appreciate that. Yeah.
We look under the hood. We know everything that's going on. We don't. If somebody is not on par with the structures and standards that we have, they're not participating. So all of these nonprofits, we've actually verified that they're doing what they said they're doing. And we, quite frankly, most of them we have a relationship with.
Wow.
Great.
Give STL Day, folks. STLGives.org, STLGives.org. And you can give as little as $10 or as much as your pocketbook will allow you to give. And you can choose from over 1,000 nonprofits that you can give to in the St. Louis metropolitan area.
Yeah, and I just want to correct my media person beat me up about this because I was saying it wrong as well. So it's Gives STL Day. And so www.givesstlday.
GiveSTLDay.org. Okay. Did I say something incorrectly? Okay.
No, my person beat me up because I was saying STL Gives, and it says GiveSTLDay.org.
Okay. Gotcha. Would you do for us and for the community a 30 to 45 second commercial on St. Louis Community Foundation?
Sure. The St. Louis Community Foundation is the philanthropic arm of the St. Louis region. It is our role to center the community in its philanthropic efforts as we look to make sure that we're supporting those nonprofits that do the heavy work of supporting a community. Anything from arts to animals is what we support, and we want people to think about the St. Louis Community Foundation as they think about their philanthropic giving.
That's a take, Mark.
That's a wrap. Yeah.
Kelvin, thanks very much for coming in and talking to us about this.
Really
this has been wonderful. And folks, again, stlgives.org, stlgives.org that's the Give STL Day website. Check that out. And we encourage you to support the nonprofits that are going on. And if you have an interest and you have money to get a foundation going, please get a hold of the St. Louis Community Foundation. Kelvin, thanks again.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Arnold Stricker with Mark Langston of St. Louis in Tune.
Thanks for listening to St. Louis in Tune. On each and every show, we strive to bring you informative, useful, and reflective stories and interviews about current and historic issues and events that involve people, places, and things. Hey, we cover a wide range of content in the arts, crime, education, employment, faith, finance, food, health, history, housing, and humor, justice, and sports, and that's just to name a few. While St. Louis In Tune originates from the Gateway City and covers local topics, we connect to what is going on nationally as well. If you missed any of our previously aired programs of St. Louis In Tune, simply visit stlintune.com. That's stlintune.com. There you'll find every show from our first to our most current. Use the search engine and look for a show that might interest you. And if you have an area that you'd like us to examine deeper, let us know. Just drop us a line at stlintune@gmail.com. That's stlintune@gmail.com. St. Louis In Tune,
Heard Monday through Friday on the USRadioNetwork.com and many great stations around the U.S. and, of course, right here in St. Louis. Our website again is STLintune.com. STLintune.com.
This is Arnold Stricker of St. Louis In Tune on behalf of the Dred Scott Heritage Foundation. In 1857, the Dred Scott decision was a major legal event and catalyst that contributed to the Civil War. The decision declared that Dred Scott could not be free because he was not a citizen. The 14th Amendment, also called the Dred Scott Amendment, granted citizenship to all born or naturalized here in our country and was intended to overturn the U.S. Supreme Court decision on July 9, 1868. The Dred Scott Heritage Foundation is requesting a commemorative stamp to be issued from the U.S. Postal Service to recognize and remember the heritage of this amendment by issuing a stamp with the likeness of the man Dred Scott. But we need your support and the support of thousands of people who would like to see this happen. To achieve this goal, we ask you to download, sign, and share the one-page petition with others. To find the petition, please go to dredscottlives.org and click on the Dred Scott Petition Drive on the right side of the page. On behalf of the Dred Scott Heritage Foundation, this has been Arnold Stricker of St. Louis In Tune. Welcome back to St. Louis In Tune with Arnold Stricker and Mark Langston. Mark, what a great conversation with Kelvin Adams.
He is someone making a difference in his community.
Yes, he is.
And very soft-spoken gentleman.
You can see the...
But smart.
Oh, yeah. The nonprofit community. And we all know nonprofits that we've dealt with or that we've supported. And just the fact that maybe they could actually... get together and nate some things. You know, we've had a lot of nonprofits on the show here.
Yeah.
And all very worthy.
They are.
Of what they're doing. Some overlap, which I think is one of the things he was discussing, that I think it's do we need to do that?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a marvelous idea.
Yeah.
It maximizes the dollars that people give and that you benefit.
It's like a cooperative.
Yes, a good word for that.
Yeah, I think it and it needs to be done.
It really does.
I'm surprised that no one's taken it up and gone after it, but thank goodness he's doing it.
And again, it seems like timing is really appropriate, and like he was talking about coming after COVID, I think it revealed a lot of things about the philanthropic community, what their goals were, where nonprofits were, and what their goals were, and having that kind of setup like that. And you read the horror story. Somebody buys this $750,000 house or buys the two Mercedes or whatever.
Right,
you know, and
right.
It really leaves a sour taste in people's mouths.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. And I didn't mean to sound negative when I said there's a lot of egos involved, but their egos can be good. They can be bad. You can check them at the door, you hope. But folks, they have an ego. Like, we really want to help in this particular circle here. And doggone it, that's what we're going to do.
Right.
And they lose sight that there's more to life than just that one issue. And what he's doing, I think, is great. And it's tough to put all those egos together and get them all to feel good and warm and fuzzy about what they're doing.
Because they feel that it's their personal mission, and this is what they've been entrusted to do. And a lot of times it's easier just to get on board with somebody who's already going that direction, and that train's already moving down the track.
So.
But sometimes that train conductor may be like, no, this is my train. It really, I think you brought up a great point about the egos, and that all has to get out of the way, because that's not the beneficiary in the long run.
No, it's not. And their hearts, we got to think with our hearts, I think, more.
Yeah, more than with the pocketbook.
The pocketbook.
The ego.
The ego, the brain, heart.
Give STL Day is a great day. Last year, $3.84 million, and there's a record-setting 1,126 nonprofits around the region last year. That 14,608 unique donors gave generously.
Wow.
1 in 4 donors self-identified as first-time donors to an organization, which is huge. And more than 73% of donors opted to make an additional gift at checkout to cover processing fees.
Well, I know there's a lot of people out there that want to give, and they just don't know where to go. They don't know how to do it. I got a little extra money. I want to give some money. And I think that they vet all of these different organizations. And it's nice to know I can go to their website And then any one of them that I pick, maybe I'll find something that I have some interest in, it's going to be worthwhile. It's going to be worthy. It's going to be honest. It's going to be above board. So yeah. I really appreciate what they're doing.
And all the legwork has been done. And really, it's virtually pushing a button, clicking on whatever. I'm on their website right now. I'm clicking on something I've never heard of. The Missouri Disabled Water Ski Association. Who would figure?
Wow.
And it gives a little founding understanding and philosophical goals, their mission. Hmm. It gives their organizational data, what their operating budget is, where they're located, their website, and things like that, who they're serving, who is their audience. And that's perfect information, because when people are asking for money at a store or something, right. Generally it's those organizations that you are familiar with. Uh-huh. But when somebody else is, give to the Missouri Disabled Water Ski Association, you would like, I have no clue who you are, what you're doing with that. Are you buying wave runners with this, or what are you doing with this?
And that's what I like, that you can go to that website and see a list of all these different ones that you probably never even knew existed. This is something I have an interest in. I maybe want to make a donation to it. You would have never found them before. I just don't think you would have.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Not just searching around on your own, surfing the web. I don't.
Yeah, and I think this particular nonprofit organization, as I'm looking at their pictures and what their goals are, very important.
Yeah, and they're and the fact that they can all maybe work together in some fashion.
That's
what
huge. I'd love to see all the foundations together.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine?
Oh man.
What that would do to a metropolitan area.
What power that would be to help. I think somewhere, I don't know where I read this, but in the United States, there might be 25 million people that really need help. We got, 140 million people in the United States, and of that, 125 really need some help. Come on. We can help those 25 million people.
Right.
Those people that are less fortunate than we are, that really could use a hand up.
I'm going to give our word of the day here, Mark.
Oh.
And it's probably easy to figure out. It's called athleisure. Athleisure.
Okay,
it's got ath, A-T-H, and then leisure.
A-T-H.
And it's a hybrid word.
Okay.
It's a hybrid style of athletic clothing, typically worn as everyday wear.
Athleisure.
Athleisure.
Nothing like a leisure suit.
Nothing like a leisure suit, which you and I would know about.
I know. I hate to say it, but I have
leisure, leisurely athletic wear.
I'll be darned. How about that? Who knew?
And that word actually is a portmanteau.
It's a portmanteau.
It's a combination of words. Oh, so the word athleisure. And you see a lot of that clothing going around. When a lot of women are wearing the yoga pants and yoga stuff, it's athletic stuff, but they're wearing it for leisure. That's athleisure clothing.
I see.
All right.
Can I say some people shouldn't wear those?
I think you could.
Okay. I don't know. Someone should have told them don't wear those.
Don't.
Please don't wear them. Anyway, I get. Okay.
Athleisure.
How do you spell it again?
A-T-H.
A-T-H.
L-E-I.
F.
S-U-R-E.
That's hard for me to get out of my F.
Athleisure.
F.
Yeah,
athleisure.
Like athlete. Athleisure.
Athleisure.
There you go.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. athleisure.
All right. Okay. Got some days of the day?
I have a few. Let me start here. A National Tourism Day. So it's time for us to go start taking are you thinking about the summer and taking
We've got a wedding to go to, and we may travel to that, and it's out of state. So.
Here's a good one, National Barrier Awareness Day.
Barrier Awareness.
If you're in a wheelchair,
okay,
something, or you're just having trouble getting around, maybe reflect on some of the structures and the things that we work on. How about those people that park in the disabled
parking
spots?
Yeah.
Drive me nuts.
Yeah.
Drives me crazy.
I didn't know if you were talking about like barriers, like Spire has torn up mostly all the streets in St. Louis City.
Those barriers, that could be too. National Cosmopolitan Day. I don't think I've ever had a cosmopolitan drink. Have you?
No.
Okay. Where this National Foster Care Day.
Mm-hmm. Big one.
Yeah. I was adopted, but I never was in foster care. Mm-hmm. And I think foster care is a very important part. Sometimes I hear horror stories, but I think in the most National Asthma Day for those that smoked.
Oh, okay.
So, smoking, have smoked, do smoke. I don't know. I know.
But there is a show coming that relates to smoke.
Okay.
I'll just leave it there.
Smoke? A day that does smoke, huh?
No, a show. I'm going to do a show.
Oh, you're
with you about smoke.
Oh, this ought to be fun.
Yeah. I'm just going to leave it there.
Maybe. Okay.
I don't want to tip the hand to anybody.
How about reward yourself day? Do you ever reward yourself?
I try to do that every day.
Do you?
Yeah. It's like having a cup of coffee. And from shameless plug, Park Avenue.
Now,
a turtle mocha latte.
So we had Dr. Kelvin Adams on, of course. And it's interesting. Tomorrow is National Donate a Day's Wages to Charity Day.
Ooh.
How about that?
That's interesting.
Yeah. We are putting a smile on many faces by taking a day of your wages, whatever that might be, and making a donation with it.
And somebody would say, gross or net?
You would say that. Nobody else would say it. You would say that. I know. That's pretty funny. Let's see. National Coconut Cream Pie Day.
Mm.
You like coconut cream pie?
Do
you?
Yes.
I don't think I've had one in a long time. National Have a Coke Day?
I've stayed off that stuff.
Have you?
Yeah.
This one's for my wife, National Maria Day.
Oh.
Honor the 18th most popular name in the United States.
Several Maria. Songs.
Maria. I think in Spanish it means Mary.
Mary, correct.
Is that right?
See.
If I got that wrong. National Give Someone a Cupcake Day. Cupcake Day. You didn't bring any cupcakes today.
Oh, I tell you what, there's a great cupcake place behind the it's in the Central West End.
Yeah.
Behind the Chase. Yeah, I think it's the Cupcake Factory.
Is that right?
It's
just cupcakes.
Just cupcakes. Well, they have some cookies there, too. But it's an offshoot of the, another shameless plug here, for the Cakery Bakery.
The Cakery Bakery.
You want to get a really good cake?
Yes.
Cakery Bakery.
I'll be darned. Where is that?
It's over in Dogtown.
I'll have to look this up. National
Cakes. Excellent cakes.
We're getting to the end here, but National Night Shift Workers Day. Have you ever worked a night shift?
No, I've worked an evening shift.
Okay. That's not the same.
No, it's not the same.
Yeah. 3 o'clock in the morning, you're going, how do I stay up? And then it's...
I've had my 10th cup of coffee.
I know. And then it's, how do I drive home?
Yeah, that's the key. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if I make it through, I'm not going to make it home.
So. And it's hard for people who rotate through schedules like that.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
It's not like you're just on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are.
Right. Just a couple. So World Donkey Day?
Yeehaw.
Why do you want us to do that when you hear that?
Missouri mules.
Oh, I never thought about that. You're thinking way overtime here. I know.
I've had coffee.
Make a book day. Oh, hooray for Buttons Day. Buttons often go unappreciated, so celebrate them small and large. Functional articles and show your gratitude for it. I guess Congress voted on this.
No, I was going to say, you know when that came about?
When?
Is when Velcro became popular.
That's probably true. I mean, there's more, but I think that's probably, holy smokes, I don't know.
Fear has two meanings.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. This is my favorite.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I beg you.
Good.
I didn't mean to interrupt
you. National Velcro Day?
No, it's close, though. I don't know how you feel about this. National Tear the Tags Off the Mattress Day.
Oh, yeah, my wife loves to do that.
Does she?
Yeah, get rid of that, even on the pillows.
You like, really? It yes, says, I know.
Under penalty of the law, do not remove the tag.
Right, that's why I had to get that one in there. I know that is still, it's true, isn't it?
You rub up against that thing. I always turn those things in anyway, in the pillowcase.
Yeah, but just
on the mattress.
Tear that thing off.
Absolutely.
Cut it off, actually. Sometimes you tear them off in the whole...
Rips
yeah,
the whole thing.
It rips the seam.
Yeah, under penalty of the law.
Right. They'll get you one way or the other. Okay.
So fear has two meanings.
Okay.
Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. The choice is yours.
Oh.
That's a true one.
That's true.
A doctor said to her patient, I have good news and bad news. The patient said, give me the good news first, doctor. Doctor said, your test results are back, and you have only 2 days to live. The patient asked, that's good news? Well, what's the bad news? The doctor says, I've been trying to reach you for 2 days.
Oh, wow. That's a harsh. That's harsh. That's tough.
Operator, 911, what's your emergency? Man, a guy just hit by a car. I need an ambulance. Operator, what's your location? Man, I'm on Eucalyptus Street. Operator, can you spell that for me? Man, long, awkward pause. Operator, sir, are you there? Man, I'm going to drag him over to Pine Street and call you right back.
That deserves more.
A pessimist sees a dark tunnel. Uh-huh. An optimist sees light at the end of the tunnel. Mm. A realist sees a train. The engineer sees three idiots standing on the track. So I met a woman outside the mall crying. This kind of goes to your $100 mark. She had just lost $200. So I gave her $40 from the $200 I had just found. When God blesses you, you must bless others.
Wow.
Oh, Bill Gates says that a cow puts off more pollution than a car.
Mm.
Okay, Bill, I'll lock myself in a garage with a cow overnight. You lock yourself in a garage with a running car overnight. We will meet for breakfast in the morning to discuss the results.
Yeah, that's
Today's three-year-olds can turn on laptops and use apps. When I was three, I ate mud pies.
That explains so much.
Would you like a piece of mud?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's all for this hour, folks. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can listen to additional shows at stlintune.com, stlintune.com. Consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or your preferred podcast platform. Your feedback helps us reach more listeners and continue to grow. I want to thank Bob Berthasell for our theme music, co-host Mark Langston, and we thank you for being a part of our community of curious minds. St. Louis in Tune is a production of Motif Media Group and the U.S. Radio Network. Remember to keep seeking, keep learning. Walk worthy and let your light shine. For St. Louis in Tune, I'm Arnold Stricker.